ready to meet with him and to hear him speak. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our meeting. We thank you you draw us together by the Spirit. Lord, help us to hear. Help us to understand. Help us, Father, to get that healing and deliverance that is always in your word, that our lives will be changed and conformed to your will. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Praise God. Well, I want to just exhort today a teaching on faith. And we're going to call our teaching today, The Realm of Faith Will Be Tested. The Realm of Faith Will Be Tested. I think we're all learning, aren't we, that our faith walk with God is not really of this world. Although we're in this world, as the Word of God says, we're not of it. And so our faith in its nature is preparing us for eternity. It is preparing us for another world, another place, another future. Our faith that not only saves us and delivers us, but a faith that is also to walk in this life with God, is all leading us toward the future. We are, of course, told that we have faith for today, and you have had faith, which is a gift, for today by the grace of God, and your faith has brought you through and not failed. Even though you may not feel like it, even though your day may be negative, or you feel, gosh, what a day I've had. It doesn't matter what it is, because we know that God has gone before and prepared the way. And so nothing should take us by surprise. Whatever we encounter, whatever we are going through, whatever the obstacle or whatever the enemy tries to do, everything is perfectly designed and planned by Almighty God, your Heavenly Father who loves you, to help you to understand that the realm of faith that you walk will be tested. And it has to be tested because, as we've said so often, our faith is like muscles and they have to be used. Because our muscles are important to our body, not only for our survival, but also for our movement, being able to go from A to B and so on. So we put that over to the spiritual and how we see that every day God is working on our faith, because we are saved by faith and not by sight. That is why. And the nature of faith requires nurturing. And this nurturing, it has to be fed. And if the word of God that you hear is not feeding you, feeding your faith to believe, to reach out for more, then I think you're wasting your time listening to such teaching. It might be intellectually good. It might be good on history. It may be excellent on all Old Testament, Hebrew. And there are many who are extremely good. But fundamentally, the question is what I'm hearing, is it building me in the faith? Is it giving me endurance? Is it enabling me to stand, to remain faithful, to endure to the end, as Jesus said? There is so much more in our hearing. And this is why I'm always so concerned about many who call themselves Christians and what they're prepared to put their ears to, because it stimulates them. It moves the emotions. They feel good after it, and so on. But that is not a nurturing of the faith. You see, any mother who loves her child is going to nurture her child, and she's going to be careful and watch what her child takes in, what the child eats, and so on. We'll take that over to the spiritual with our Heavenly Father, who loves us with an everlasting love. And his love is that he wants us to receive the best. He knows what keeps us alive, surviving, functioning spiritually in this life. As I say so often, God has made no mistake. And you have to settle that one. There are many Christians who still are not settled on that. They're not settled on the love of God. But God continues to work with us. And if we stay with it, then he has a way of winning us over, wooing us, until we are completely in his hands, reliant upon him. And that is why not only does our faith need nurturing, it has to be fed, but it's perfected through discipline, testing, and trials. That is the way in which we enter into the kingdom of God. And God wants to get you to a place that your trials and testings, whatever they are, he's getting you to that place to get you to know it's tailor-made. And God will not allow you to go through a trial unless he sees the goal, the vision at the end of it. We don't see it straight away, but all is gradually being revealed, and all will be revealed when we see Jesus, our Saviour. Up until then, we walk by faith. You see, secondly, we have to understand the realm of faith, which will be tested, because that's what we're talking about today. It's a fruit. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. And like any fruit, it has to mature. It doesn't come ready-made. The grapes that are harvested at the end of the season were not like that at the beginning. And so it's the same with us. And you see, the cross that we bear and take up daily is to mature us. And it's sad that many preachers do not understand or preach the cross that a believer is to take up daily and follow the Lord, as Jesus turned to the multitudes and told them, if you want to follow me, you take up your cross also. Why? Because he's dealing with faith, and that faith has to be tested. You see, we have to understand that God has been preparing us all our lives for this walk. Your walk as a believer, as an overcomer, the teaching of the deeper life of the Spirit is not by chance. You have been prepared right from birth for this walk. As God spoke through Jeremiah, and what did God say through Jeremiah, this prophet that is called in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. That's the calling on his life. And that is the calling of anyone who is called by God. And this is why I spoke a few weeks ago in predestination and election, there is a calling. You have to be called from the foundation of the world. This is always controversial. It is always something that stirs people. Well, why should God have a few that he calls? Why doesn't he call the whole world? That is the mind and wisdom of God. Jacob I love, Esau I hate. The foreknowledge of God also saw that Esau wasn't really interested in his birthright, which he should have had. He didn't have that zeal, that hunger for God. As the commandments tell us, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. You see? And even that has to be put there by the grace and mercy of God. So the prophet here, being called by God, is assured of this calling before he was even born. And that divine principle works on all saints. And it is so most certainly working upon the bride who's making herself ready. The overcomers, the first fruits. What does Isaiah 44 and verse 24 have to tell us? Isaiah 44 and verse 24. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb, I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself. So there you are. He formed you from the womb. This is why demons in nature watch us the moment we are born. They are clever. They are devilish, highly intelligent, and they are capable of reading human beings. And they can discern and work out pretty quickly the type of person and character you are, and will afflict and buffet in certain demonic realms. That's why you have some who battle fear, or you have some who are insecure, are never sure, or you have some who are arrogant and proud and bombastic. How does that all form? It forms by these demons that oppress, that beguile, that seduce. Why do they do this? Because this is what it tells us here in verse 4. God says, I formed you before the womb, or from the womb. You were called before you were conceived. That is God's elect. Why has God done that? Not only because he's sovereign, he's Lord, but because he knows the attacks of the enemy on your life. And so he's put his nature, his face in you, so that you will not be taken by demonic forces, even though they may try and buffet, even though they may have tried to seduce you and to take you away from God. They cannot change the image of your Father that is in your heart, your spirit. And always take comfort in that as God is delivering you through the word. Whatever it would be, for we all have weaknesses, and demonic powers know those weaknesses and they will work on them. But when we are wonderfully born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, as the word says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we can glean from such promises and words of comfort that we were called before the foundation of the world. That's why the enemy doesn't have a chance. Demons don't have a chance. We read that you were sanctified. What does that mean? You were separated unto God. Unless God goes before and prepares the way, you can't make it into the kingdom of heaven. So we can take great, great comfort, can't we? That through our faith and our faith being tested, how that God has everything under control. Even when it seems in your life for a season, it's going out of control. The things I do, I shouldn't do, and what I should do, I'm not doing. And so it goes on, and you get in despair. And the love and grace of God has a wonderful way of bringing you to the end of yourself, where you just drop to your knees. Father, I cannot go on like this. You see, this is the work of the Holy Spirit, and I thank God that he's worked that on my life over the years. He's allowed me just to go so far, and that is it. Why? Because like you, I am sanctified before the foundation of the world. I have been separate unto him, unto holiness. This is why you cannot fit into this world if you're truly born of God. You simply know you're a sojourner passing through. It's not my home. It's not where I belong. I cannot put my roots down here. I'm destined for eternity. That is why Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you, for in my Father's house are many mansions. Great comfort. What does Psalm 51 have to say to us? Psalm 51, I'm sure you know these all very well. And verse 5, Psalm 51 and verse 5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. So there we are. He says, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. He says, I desire truth in the inward parts. In the hidden parts you will make me to know wisdom. So he clearly knows his origin. He knows that he was conceived in sin, but he still cries out to know truth. In the inward part. What is he talking about? I want faith. I want to believe. Not in the head, but in the heart. You see? What does Psalm 139 tell us? Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16. Psalm 139, 13 to 16. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written. The days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. So he says, my frame is not hidden from you. You know all my works. You knew me in my mother's womb. You see, taking great comfort from the scriptures, which we're to do because they help us with our faith when we go through these trials and these tests. This is why all things work together for good. Why do we say that? Because it's divinely planned. It's for your purpose and for the glory of God. I know we know this well, but I'm reminded of the story of Joseph. Went through tremendous trial and testing for many years. His brothers jealous of him. They threw him into a pit, and then travelers came and took him out, and then they sold him into slavery. And Potiphar purchased him, and his wife tried to seduce him, and then he was thrown into prison for many years. But God was using him, even in prison, and he was able to interpret Pharaoh's dream that there was going to come a famine on the land. And he said it would be a good year, 7 years of a good harvest, then the 7 years of famine. And immediately he was brought up, clothed, washed down and presented and stood next to Pharaoh in authority and given all authority of which to build the stores and bring in the harvest. And then the story of his brothers restored again as brothers because they sold him into slavery. They were jealous of him. Look what God was doing behind the scenes. He wasn't aware of it. But as he remained faithful, endured and stayed with it, he then saw what the realm of faith, believing, does. And that principle is the same with us. God is training us for the future. And we are not to complain or run away or become discouraged. This is one of Satan's number one weapons he's using against the overcomers. I know I have said this before many times, but he will try and make you despondent. He will try and get you to be inward looking. That is always what he tries to do. And when you start to become inward looking, self-pity sets in. And you cannot walk in the realm of faith because you're losing the vision, the call upon your life. This is why I say so often, the call to the deeper life in the spirit is a calling. It is a message where the bride is making herself ready. It is the message to the Philadelphian church that's little, weak, but holds to the name of Jesus and is faithful. And the promises that God says, I will deliver you, I will protect you from judgment that will come upon the whole world. None of the other churches have that said to them, except that little church. Nothing much to look at. Outwardly in form, weak, ineffectual. certainly doesn't look like the big mega churches and pastors and teachers that have thousands following them, because most follow that way. That is the broad way. The broad way always appeals to those who want to walk with other people. They want to feel safe. They like being in big numbers. But you see, the narrow way, only one by one can go through. And that is the calling. It's you and God. That is the difference. And not all are prepared to pay the cost for that. It's just too hard. The training's too hard. You want too much from me, God, and everything. See, they have not fully understood the love and grace and mercy of God. They've not understood what it means to walk by faith. And when the first tests come along, they run off. Instead of staying with it, enduring, just remaining there and watch how God works, they run off and go the broad way. Because it's easier to trust in man and the arm of the flesh. We have got to learn, brothers and sisters, that God is cutting away from all our relying upon the arm of the flesh. It isn't going to go away. And if you have failed a test in faith, you can be well assured it's going to come around again and again until you settle it. And that is the grace and mercy of God. There are still areas in faith that God is testing me. And it doesn't go away. It's no good trying to pretend. It's facing it full on. And that whatever God is going to allow me to go through, that will be the means of my deliverance, of letting go and trusting God and walking by faith. There's a great emphasis coming out now online, I've noticed, particularly on Instagram. And there have been a number of videos recently, and I don't think it's a coincidence, where they again are making much about the future coming of the mark of the beast. And they have been clearly revealing more and more how this is going to work and what will happen to those who refuse it. And it's pretty clear how they predict this with the way that we are seeing the world, the future, the economy, gradually doing away with cash, relying more and more upon cards, digital currency. Everything is becoming digitalized. One is clearly seeing how that if you refuse that mark, you could well starve. There is no way you will be able to buy food, travel. They say by that time most of our cars will be driven by AI. They won't start. Your card is ineffective at the till. No medical science, medical facilities, no doctors will see you. Nothing, everything will stop what we rely and depend on for our survival each day. And for many that are left, it is going to be a horrendous time of choosing what to do. And this is why, brothers and sisters, I never take the deeper life in the Spirit and the walk of faith lightly. I have been very aware for many years what God is doing in getting a remnant to walk by faith, to not trust in all of this. For we do not know how long. It seems the Lord is tarrying his coming. But every year we are seeing further liberties and freedoms being removed subtly. And we cannot bury our heads in the sand. We have to take heed now. We have to apply that wisdom now, which the wise virgins do, because we are getting the extra oil in our vessels. That oil is for light. And what is light for? To be able to see. The foolish virgins, their lights will go out. They may well be going out now. They are not seeing like they once used to see, because they are not walking as wise virgins. They've lost that wisdom. They've lost that unction about them, preparing themselves, getting themselves ready. It's not there anymore. They've become sleepy, complacent. They've allowed the spirit of this age to seduce them. But the overcomers, they won't fall for that. Something within them says, I must watch and pray and be alert. I must continue to hear this word that feeds my faith, that enables me to be able to stand. I need to see more clearly how God is leading and guiding, not only for my life, but corporately for the church. For without the vision, the people perish. There is so much involved in our call as overcomers with the deeper life teaching. And like Joseph, he didn't fight it. Those awful conditions, wrongly accused. He didn't fight it. He just went along with it because he knew God had not left him. God was doing something, but he hadn't seen it yet. Exactly the same with us. Because it hasn't been unveiled yet and will be through Jesus Christ when he comes for the overcomers in the clouds. He's training you and I, brothers and sisters, for the future. And that's why we're not to complain or to run away or to listen to the devil's doubts and to become discouraged. Because Satan knows how to discourage us. We're ultimately called to walk in the steps of Jesus. That's how the bride makes herself ready. She walks in his steps, not her own steps, but she is dependent totally, utterly on him in which to make herself ready. Let's turn to Hebrews 6. Hebrews chapter 6, let's look at we'll start from verse 5. And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. He's talking about those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have been partakers of the Holy Spirit, because he's talking about those who fall away. if they fall away, to renew them again, verse 6, to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives blessings from God. But if it bears thorns and briars and yet is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you, yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner, for God is not unjust to forget your work and your labour of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. So you see, our faith is outward looking. It's motivated by love, ministering, helping, caring, encouraging, and so forth, because that dispels this discouragement, this wanting to run away. You see, there are many, many ways you can come against Satan when he's trying to put this depression upon you. Not only rebuking him and telling him to leave, but also actively stepping out in faith, helping, encouraging as the Spirit leads. And before you know where you are, all that heaviness, that discouragement, it just lifts. And you realise that God has a plan for your life. It's so sad very often that Satan can see more than we can actually see. He has a certain ability of seeing. And he sees those things that God is doing in our lives. And it causes him to rise up in jealousy and in anger, because he doesn't want that accomplished in your life. Because in nature, he's a robber, he's a thief. And God has provided the way for you and I to get him off our back. And he's given you the weapons, and he's given you all authority in his mighty name and in the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. These are all the testings. These are all the areas that are putting that extra oil into our vessel, that extra vessel that we have with our lamps. All of that is storing it up so that we have that light ready, burning for when he comes, because we're able to see. And that is the difference. Whereas the others, the foolish virgins, their lights have gone out. They're no longer getting that revelation, that they're no longer being illumined in the word. The light is not lighting up the word of God, preparing them. This is why it is so vital that we stay with God's word and we listen and we take it in, because it's doing a work behind the scenes. It's doing a work in the realm of faith. That's why our faith is like a stepping stone to greater things. And this is why we have to move beyond ourselves. We are, as we know, I've said many times, in the times of restoration, it's bringing all back under his divine headship. He'll do nothing outside his body. Everything he's doing with you and I and everybody who's hearing this teaching now, he does it in his body. That is where he is. That is his headship over it. The doorway into the kingdom is set in his body, and rightly so. And that's why, as I close, you've got many who call themselves Christians, but sadly they go from church to church, pillar to pillar, never growing, never learning, not seeing, not maturing, little light in their walk. But God will not have that to be of us. Praise his name. The realm of faith will be tested. And like all saints, you begin to get a vision of your trial and your tests, because you know at the end of it, something very great is going to come out of it. Praise God. Amen.